Minister unto the Lord is the title of today's Bible study, taken from Exodus 28, 1 to 4, 34, 31 to 38, and 40 to 43. The work of the priest, as we shall see, did not begin with the advent of the nation of Israel, with the beginning of the nation of Israel, but during the patriarchal period, in the times of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the time even of Job, and even earlier, the time of Noah, where the head of each household functioned as a mediating priest on behalf of their family. We read this in the earliest book of the Bible, the book of Job, that he would rise up early and he would continually offer burnt offerings for each of his children because he wanted God's blessing upon his children, lest they have cursed God in their hearts. You remember the passage in Job chapter 1. And you will notice also in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, just after the global flood recited, that Noah built an altar and offered a burnt offering of clean beast to the Lord. Genesis 8:20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And later on, you would see in Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abraham to Canaan, how he also built an altar to the Lord as he traveled together with his family to Canaan. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thee will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east, Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And in Genesis chapter 13, verse 18, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelled in the plain of Mamre, wherein is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord, a place of consecration to remember the Lord for who he is and what he has done for them and what they are doing according to his instructions. And Genesis 22 verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar and laid wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. That was an altar that God commanded Isaac, commanded Abraham to build as a sacrifice to God. And God finally provided an offering from the thicket of the branches, a goat. And in Isaac also, you would see the same manner by which he represented his family, building an altar to the Lord. Genesis 26, 40, 24 to 25. And the Lord appeared unto him, to Isaac, the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for thy servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. And in Genesis 33, 20, and he erected there an altar and called it Elohi Israel, God, the God of Israel. And from then, you know, the Bible tells us that Israel sojourned with his family for 400 years in Egypt. That brings us to the beginning of the book of Exodus, how God delivered them. The people of Israel, a family of 70, all multiplied Right? In that 400 years, to 2-3 million people, and God commanded them to remove themselves from Egypt, where they may go to the wilderness to worship Him, and then en route to the Promised Land. And so it was God's plan that God would bring them out. And it was God's plan that Israel be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, having direct access to God. Genesis or Exodus 19 verse 4 to 6 says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, now and I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then ye will be a peculiar treasure above me, above all people, for all the people is mine, and ye shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ and we become a child of God through Jesus Christ, we are a nation, a people, a priesthood before God. And God would use us to be a witness for Him to the uttermost parts of the earth. And God wants us to know what He is doing for us and how we represent our God. And, you know, we can call out to the Lord on behalf of others to plead for their souls, to plead for their salvation, to plead for their deliverance, and how God was with them to help them, to be with them. And being priests were the privilege God gave to them, that they might draw near to God in worship. And the head of each family, or the eldest son, would function as priest, offering sacrifices on behalf of the household. Exodus 24, 4 to 5. "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord." And since Israel was a kingdom of priests, God gave to them the responsibility to demonstrate His standard of holiness to a world that had sunken low in the depths of sin and debauchery. Israel was called to mediate God's word and work to the world as light to the nations. Isaiah 42 verse 6, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." It was God's order for familial worship. Right? When they existed as a family of believers, God used them, right, to be His, to in communion with Him, in fellowship with Him, at the altar that God asked them to build. And when Israel becomes a multitude at the Exodus, God instituted formal worship, when Israel's witness would now expand, right, from that of individual families to a collective witness of families as a nation. And you'll notice that Our body consists of families, right? Husband and wife and children. And we all worship the Lord, right, together. Why? Well, because God made these basic family units. And together, all the units come together as one people before God. And in Exodus 25 to 27, you see God gave the instruction for the construction of the tabernacle. Here in Exodus 28 and 29, God now will show us that Israel will not kill their own sacrifice and offer its blood on the altar, and then would sit and enjoy communion with God, but the same concept of the head of the family who functioned as priest on behalf of the family will now have a high priest that will stand on their behalf before God for the nation of families. And God has chosen Aaron and his family to this task of representing Israel before God. And this is what Exodus 28 is about. And God has given them the blueprint to build the tabernacle, and now who are to minister in the priest office. So the word, the Hebrew word for priest is the word kohen. It means one who officiates. It comes from the Hebrew word kun, which means to stand. And the priest then would be one who stands before God to minister. So we want to think today of two thoughts before we go into the details of how the priest is to be clothed, to be a representative of the people before God. And firstly, we speak about God's choice of priest, verse 1. And secondly, God's prescribed robe for the high priest, 2 to 4, 31 to 38, 40 to 43. We'll be looking in greater detail next week. And I've enclosed for you on the last page a picture of the garment for the priest. Verse 28, verse 1 of Exodus 28 says, "And thou, take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Itamar, Aaron's sons." Holiness to the Lord was the inscription written on a thin plate of gold in the headdress of the Israel's high priest. How can we approach a thrice holy God except in holiness? Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4 says, "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." And so on Mount Sinai, God told Moses to appoint Aaron and his four sons to serve as priests, to serve the altar in the sanctuary. And verse 41 of our text in Exodus 28 tells us, "And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and of his sons with him, and shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest office." Now, you notice, did Aaron and his sons deserve this? No. But God chose them to receive his grace to this work. Right? Not something that we do on our own, but it is the Lord. Aaron was not chosen by the people or self-appointed, but they were divinely called by God, and they derived the authority directly from the Lord. And Hebrews 5 verse 4 says, "And no man taketh this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." You remember the time when Isaiah was before God in his throne room, Isaiah chapter 6. And he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, how did King Uzziah die? Well, King Uzziah intruded into the priest's office. He went into the temple on behalf of the priest to offer sacrifices. And straight away, he was struck with leprosy. And the year in which God called Isaiah was the year in which Uzziah died. And Isaiah, when he was before God in his throne room, he was very frightened because he understood that he was in the presence of the Almighty God. And he remembered what happened to Uzziah, the king. Now, Uzziah was, during the reign of Uzziah, Israel was very prosperous. He built many cities, and Israel was, physically speaking, in a state of greatness, and pride went into him, and Uzziah went into the throne, or went into the temple, and he offered sacrifices, and he died a leper. And so Isaiah remembered, he remembered what happened, how God struck Uzziah with leprosy, and he died a leper when he offered sacrifices on behalf of the priest. Isaiah 6 verse 1. The prophet Isaiah recalled this truth when God confronted him in his throne room on the year Uzziah died, and he saw his utter unworthiness to stand before God. Before that, in Isaiah chapter 5, he went about all of Israel, and he wore everyone in the nation, right? From prince to pauper, everyone, right? He gave a message of woe, right? And finally, in Isaiah chapter 6, he wore himself, right? Acknowledging that he was a man of unclean lips, living in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And then God sent a seraph to touch his tongue with a coal taken from the altar of God, the altar of sacrifice, to cleanse him. Unless God would make us whole, we cannot stand before him. And so when Joshua the high priest was consecrated during the time of when the building of the second temple, when they returned, Joshua the high priest, together with Zerubbabel, the governor, at that time Satan stood to withstand Joshua the high priest, and how God gave to him a clean garment. You see, we can't give ourselves any we can't make right with God. It is God who sought to make right, make things right for us on our behalf with him. He sent our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Chinese character for righteousness, right, is the word Yi. Right? The lamb that is before me, right, the young and the war, right? The lamb that covers me, gives me that righteousness. Isaiah understood that it was the seraph that brought the coal to touch his lips, to cleanse him. And unless God would grant us salvation, we cannot by our own goodness approach God. And here we see how God gave sinners like us a way out through our Lord Jesus Christ to make us a royal priesthood. It is an act of his sovereign grace, so there's nothing that we can boast about, but to realize that it is of the Lord, and we submit ourselves to his will, that we might not lose sight of this privilege that God bestows upon us. John 15 verse 16, Jesus told his disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it you." We do not deserve it. It is a privilege that God bestows upon us that we can intercede on behalf of our brethren at the throne of grace. So we have a prayer meeting, and God's people, priests before God, are called. So understand our privilege, you know, that God has brought us to such a position of honor that we are able, right, to go through our prayer list to pray and intercede on behalf of our brethren. What a high calling, what a great privilege that God gives to you, and the Lord would want us, right, not to take for granted this privilege. And well, we encourage you, right, to persevere in prayer. And those who have come and not come anymore, well, we encourage you to make an effort to come. For all that God has bestowed upon you to do all these things for you, we saw in the New Testament the high priests like Caiaphas and Ananias, how they were very cruel during their term of office, and they do not exemplify the qualifications demanded for the office they held. And you remember Ananias struck Paul in the mouth, contrary to the law. Paul says in Acts 23, verse 1 to 4, and Paul earnestly beholding the council said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded him that stood by him to smite him in the on the mouth. Then Paul said unto him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" And they that stood by said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" Now the apostle Paul met our Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and it was the Lord Jesus who commissioned him for the work. And you see that in another 30 years or so, 40 years or so, the entire priesthood system would be destroyed. God would send the Roman army, and the Roman army would destroy the temple in Jerusalem. When Christ came, and after he has completed his work of sacrifice, there is no need of further sacrifice. What Christ had done is suffice to save us fully, wholly. When he said upon the cross, "It is finished." It's finished. It means that he has completed the work of redemption. And the Lord wants us to see and understand what privilege we have before him. God has graciously provided the office of the priest so that the people cut off from him because of their sin could have access to him through the mediating priesthood. So the high priest interceded for the Israelites by offering gifts or incense and sacrifices for their own sins and those of the people. Hebrews chapter 5. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins." God willing, when we have completed our study of the book of Zechariah at our adult Sunday school, we shall begin a study, God willing, again, we said, on the book of Hebrews. To understand the role of Christ as a prophet, priest, and king, how he take all these roles. You see in Israel's history that the prophet took leadership in Israel, the kings took leadership, the princes took leadership, and the and this were fully fulfilled in one person, in Christ. And the Lord wants us to understand, right, there is no need of a further sacrifice. And by reason hereof, Hebrews 5 verse 3 says, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And from verse 2 to 4 is described for us this, the prescribed robe for the high priest. God instructed 7 pieces of clothing to be made for the high priest that he will wear when he ministers. The breeches are the garment that he wears, the first garment that he wears, and then a white inner robe or coat, and a blue robe over with bells and pomegranates on the helm, and then an ephod, a sleeveless garment of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, held together by jeweled clips on each shoulder. We'll go into the details of it next week. A girdle at the waist, a jeweled breastplate. What is the meaning of the breastplate? Held in place on the ephod by the golden chains and attached to the shoulder clips. And the shoulder clips has 2 precious stones in which was inscribed all the names of the tribes of Israel, as if to say that, you know, the high priest bear, as it were, the burdens of the people before God. And a white linen mitre or headgear with a golden plate on it that said, "Holiness to the Lord." And so the high priest, the Lord instructed, is to be arrayed in a stately garment. Right? Verse 2 of our text says, "Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty." For glory and for beauty. You know, when we stand before the Lord, when our Lord Jesus Christ returns, for glory, for beauty, God would give to us a glorified body, right? And we would be clothed in righteousness, we will be clothed in beauty, we will be clothed in glory on that day. And the Lord wants us to be envisage, you know, the glory that is to come, right? That each one of us, a priest before God, very blessed future for us, right? You stand before God, and God has no grandchildren, only the Father with all his sons and daughters before him, in righteousness, clothed in beauty and glory. The Lord wants us to see that we would one day stand before the throne, clothed in beauty, not our own. There's the hymn that says, right, Robert Murray McChain. Indeed, God is the one who does all these things for us. But here, the role of the high priest is none other than the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. After he died for our sins, 3 days later rose again from the dead, he appeared to his disciples for 40 days, and then he was ascended to heaven to stand before the Father, or to sit at the throne before the Father. And you know, the Bible described the time when Stephen died. Our Lord was, he saw the Lord stood beside the, before the throne to receive him. He died a martyr's death. He was stoned to death. And the Lord wants us to know, right, that it's a life of blessing as a child of God. You begin with a poverty of spirit. You begin as a sinner, right, mourning for your sins. And then begin with a spirit of meekness, whereby you learn to accede to the will of God in all aspects of your life. And you have that hunger and thirst after righteousness, after the things of God. And then God gives to you a purity in your life. God gives to you the strength of benevolence, right, to show mercy to other people. And then God uses you as a peacemaker. And what happened after that? Then you'd be persecuted. The Lord says that you'd face persecution. And do not be discouraged. Rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. And the Lord wants us to see, none will be spared. All will face it. But the Lord is there for us. He knows. And he was... He suffered, right, as the one who did it all, right, to win our salvation. He was tempted at all points, yet without sin, so that we can look to him, our high priest. Every time we are tempted, right, he will provide for us a way of escape. We look to him, cry out to him, seek him, and he ascended to heaven, is at the right hand of the Father, praying for us. And the Lord wants us to know the great privilege that we have on as God's people. We shall be speaking more about this next week. The Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word, thank thee for thy mercy in showing us that there is a way out of sin through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the great high priest who at the right hand of the Father intercedes on our behalf. Lord, thank thee, and we thank thee that you have chosen us to be your representative, a royal priesthood before dying world. Lord, help us. Help us to be a good witness for thee, be a good intercessor for thee on behalf of thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.